You may be seated and welcome to the Hallelujah Sunday School class here at Trinity Baptist Church. We're delighted that you're here on this Sunday. I'm wondering who will show up for church intending to be here for Sunday school, and who will show up for Spanish church, thought this coming to the English church. Surprise, surprise. Boy, it's good to see you. Thank you for being here. And looks like spring has come, or it's getting closer anyway. And we thank God for the spring weather and pray for rain. Hopefully this week they're forecasting some rain around the middle of the week, and I'm excited about that. We desperately need it throughout our city and state. We ask you to pray for God to send rain. You know, rain does to the earth what revival does for the Christian. In fact, in the Bible, revival and rain are, the terms are interchanged sometimes. And we thank God for that spiritual refreshing that comes when God moves down and hearts are yielded to Him. Same things happen. The earth is fruitful when there's rain. The Christian is fruitful when revival comes into their heart and life. Flowers are pretty and the birds are happy. And same with Christians. When they're right with God, they're happy. We're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Let me give you some prayer needs that we need to give attention to. Brother Othello Selly has been in the hospital this past week with a kidney infection. He's here today. Good to see you, Brother Othello. But continue to pray for him, if you will, please. And then Brother Thon Nye is in the hospital, and he's out now. But he was in the hospital the last couple of weeks with kidney problems as well. Be in prayer for him. Bridget McDaniels had her gallbladder removed this week. Pray for her recovery. And the most needed prayer request right now is Ed Zeisman. Ed is in ICU at, I don't even know what the name of the hospital is now. They change it every other week. MCA. Okay, Medical Center of Arlington, I think. But pray for him. He's in ICU. He's in very serious condition. He has pneumonia, and they would appreciate your prayer so very, very much. I'm sure glad you're here and glad you're well. Please continue to pray for Brother Dockery. Brother Dockery is going through chemotherapy, and we ask you to pray for him and that it'll be effective and God will heal him and raise him up. We've got some important things coming up. Today is Green Card Sunday. We call it that, and it's one of the more popular days in our Spanish department. Green Card is the INS card that gives them permission to be here in the States. And But anyway, the Green Card is Sign Up for Friend Day. This is our church membership Sign Up Sunday for Friend Day. Friend Day takes place on the last Sunday of April. It's the 29th of April this year, and that's our Friend Day, and it's going to be a big day. There's going to be some things that are a little different this year in the change in our schedule. We'll have two serving times. The English church will have their meal first, and then while the Spanish church is going on, and then when they dismiss, they'll have their meal. So it'll not be as congested down there at the in the eating lines as it was last year. But we'll get everything done and taken care of. Sure, want you to sign up. If you're a member today, if your group captain has not given you a green card, raise your hand. Okay? Group captains, on the stick. They were late. It wasn't me, Lord. It was that husband you gave me. Well, that's not the way it went, was it? All right, we still have some here. Mrs. Smith, have you given the Tafts any? And I realize, you know, you have to pardon them, her. It takes her a little time to get around. Make sure all cell phones and beepers are off. You got one, all right. All cell phones and, was that your cell phone, Diana? That's Mrs. Smith, for you that are visiting. That's my wife. And all right, please fill those out. Just sign them and turn them in to your group captain, and you'll see them begin to go up on the wall around here. Some are already going up, and that says you can count on me. I'll be here on Friend Day unless sick or providentially hindered. Just saying something over there is not good enough for you anymore. You want to use the mic? Okay. Oh, goodness. Thank God we're going out to eat today, or I wouldn't get anything to eat for lunch. All right. But we ask every member to sign up. Your card will go on the wall around here, and then you will be able to pick up yellow cards after you sign up and begin to sign up friends for Friend Day. And so we want you to be sure and plan on that. We're going to have a great day on that day. Now, today is the last day of the Adam and Eve campaign, and we'll know tonight who won that campaign. Right now the Eves are ahead. The Adams, for 4 weeks, took the lead, kept the lead, and last week they kind of let down a little bit, and the Eves went ahead. Today is Triple Point Sunday. So, my goodness, we'll see what happens today. And then ask you to remember my sister in prayer and her family, my niece, 9 months younger than I am, passed away this past week. She never recovered from the heart attack, and her funeral will be Wednesday out in Ridgecrest, California. So be in prayer for them, and I'll thank you so very, very much. All right, ushers, if you'll come forward, we'll receive our offering this morning. And then we'll meet our guests and our visitors. All right. Father, we sure do thank you for the privilege of giving. Thank you for your blessings connected with it. Not only do we get to have a part in your program and to give to show our love, and to give as a means of worshiping you, give as a means of entering into partnership with God for to carry your work throughout the world. But when we give, you promise to bless us. And Lord, just our love for you ought to be motivation enough to cause every one of us to give. But you've promised to bless us when we do also. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for the blessings that you put on our life. Draw us close to you. Lift burdens today. Heal hearts. Help us, Lord, to look into our own heart and deal with sin and uncertainty in our life and come back to a right relationship with you. Thank you for the privilege of giving. Bless Brother Murphy this morning as he speaks. Thank you for the good job our men did in the Men of the Word Conference. And Lord, help us to take those messages with us day by day. Now, Lord, we need you and we love you. Bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, the wicker basket is our church planter offering. It's to help young men as they go out and start churches. Put your green card in the offering plate also, and we'll get them back to the right people. All right, it's good to have guests and visitors today, and we'd certainly like for you to introduce your guest and visitors at this time. Group captains, are you ready? If you have guests and visitors, please fill them out or introduce them. Fill out a green card on them and then introduce them. Mrs. Lemon. Alicia, where are you? Oh, there you are. Hi, Alicia. Good to have you. Thank you for coming. Yes, ma'am. Bajano, yes. Yes, it's her brother and sister-in-law. Where are y'all from? Well, amen. It's good to have you. Boy, I love that area and that country ham up there. Breakfast is my favorite meal outside of dinner and supper. And, boy, I love country ham. You take a big old slice of country ham and some of those big old biscuits and jelly and fried hen eggs. That's why they say it in Tennessee, hen eggs. That's good. Man, all right. Yeah, well, I don't care for the gravy. That takes up space the ham could have. All right. Mrs. Barlab. Who? Charles. There you are, Charles. Good to see you. Hadn't seen you for a couple of years. Glad you're here today. And do we have any other group captain with guests? Ms. Morris, do you have guests today? Well, she's fellowshipping. Yes, ma'am. Well, visitors are not, green cards are not for visitors, they're for members. Yes, count on me card. Y'all pardon her, she's slow today. She had to get up an hour earlier. You all right? Now, do you have a visitor? It's on a light green card. Is who? Hello, how are you? Good to see you. God bless you. Be sure and count Brother Murphy, you know, as a guest also. Let me say congratulations to our senior saints. Last month, our senior saint group and department or class was the outstanding class of the month. And this plaque up here is given to the group captain or teacher of the month, and I want to recognize you and thank you for being faithful. If you're in our senior saint group, if you can stand, would you? If not, just raise your hand. Amen, amen, amen. Thank y'all. God bless you. It is a joy to have Brother Daryl Murphy with us today. Brother Murphy is an evangelist. He is from Minnesota, and so he's travels across the country. We've known him for many years. God is using him in churches. Now, folks, I realize that you're going to have trouble understanding him because he's a Yankee. And I don't want you to think he's talking some foreign language. It's a form of English. Okay? So you listen carefully this morning, and may God use Brother Daryl Murphy from Minnesota, evangelist, one of our speakers in our Men of the Word Conference, did a great job, a friend of this preacher, and we're grateful that he's here today. Brother Murphy, come right ahead.
All right. Thank you, Pastor, and what a blessing it is to be here. And so hopefully you'll be able to understand me. Amen. And I was born in Yuma, Arizona. My dad was in the military, and we lived in Louisiana for a while, in Florida, and then moved back up to Minnesota, and the land where few are thawed and many are frozen. And so, but praise the Lord, this is like summertime weather. in Minnesota. You're getting ready for spring. But this is summertime, and I'm having a good time. My wife called me this morning and told me that it's 25 degrees in Minnesota. And so, praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm down here. Amen. Yeah, she's from Oklahoma, but she's getting over it. She's been up there 3 years. I think she's finally getting over the fact that I brought her up there. Amen. It's taken her 3 years. But praise the Lord. And God's good, and I thank God for this opportunity. Of course, Brother Smith, wonderful man of God. Appreciate him in allowing me to be here. Take your Bibles now. Turn to the book of John and chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I'll begin reading here verse number 1 of the book of John and chapter 15 and verse number 1. I'll read down through this passage of Scripture here and to bring out a few thoughts. Hopefully be a help and a blessing to you this morning in John chapter 15. Had a good meeting with the men of the Word, good group of men, and I praise God for that ministry and thank the Lord for the men here in this church and that have a desire to serve God, and I appreciate that so very much. My mom and dad got saved when I was 15 years old. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And up in Minnesota, a bunch of Lutherans, Catholics. And so we went to the Lutheran church, you know, on Mother's Day and Christmas sometimes, but we didn't go to church. But some folks that I played hockey, and some fellas on the hockey team were Christians, and their daddy witnessed to my dad, got him to go to church, and it wasn't long before my dad got saved. And then my mom got saved. We start going to that Independent Fundamental Baptist Church up in Rosemount, Minnesota, pastored by an individual by the name of Dr. Ed Johnson, who was from Miami, Florida, of all places. And God called him up to Minnesota from Miami, Florida. And so first time he saw snow on the ground, he said, "Honey, get up, there's grits everywhere." And my mom and dad got saved, and my dad starts serving God. My mother starts serving the Lord. I thank God for good godly influence in my life, and they just got right in there and began to serve God and got involved in the bus ministry. And I talked to my dad the other day, and he said he had 43 people on his bus last Sunday. So he's been doing that now for 34 years. Amen. And so praise God for a good, godly, manly influence. We praise the Lord for our mothers. What would we be without our mothers? Amen? Amen. But it's always a blessing to see men out there serving God, and what a ministry that is, the men of the Word. All right, so notice here in John chapter 15 and verse number 1. The Bible declares here, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God preserved in the King James Bible, "I am the true vine." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ making reference to himself, just not any common, ordinary vine. He said, "I'm the true vine. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the true vine. And the Bible says, "My Father is the husbandman." Now, what prompted this discourse was that the disciples and the Lord Jesus were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they passed the vineyard. And so the Lord Jesus, being the master teacher that he was, decided to bring out a truth here that he thought would help his followers, knowing that it wouldn't be soon, it'd be soon that the Lord would be making preparation for his death and then crucified to die for the sins of mankind. But before he was to do that, he wanted his disciples, his followers, to get a hold of the truth that would help them during that time. And the Bible says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine." The Bible says there in verse number 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You read a passage of scripture, and you find a word that's being repeated several times. Mark it down. The Lord's not stuttering. Amen. There's a definite truth that he's trying to convey to every single blood-bought child of God who claims to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so we find this word abide mentioned several times here in this passage. And so God is trying to get us to realize there's some things that we need to have in our life to help us in our Christian endeavors. And so several times he mentions the word abide. Now, what I appreciate about the Word of God, the best commentary to the Bible is the Bible. Amen. Amen. The Bible will explain itself to you, as long as you're right with God and you have a desire to seek the truths of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God will teach you what he wants you to do with your life and how that you can be a better Christian. So, when the Lord is talking about this word abide, what is he saying? What does he mean? Notice there in verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now notice, continue ye in my love. That's simply what that word abide is talking about, to determine to continue in the love of God, continue in the work of God, to be faithful in every area of our Christian life, to be continuous in our work that God has given us. So the word abide means to continue, to be a Christian that is constant, perpetual. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide or continue in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you. Now notice, that my joy might remain in you. That's what the word abide means. It means to continue, to remain, to be steadfast, to be faithful to the Lord in every area of our Christian life, to walk with God, to cultivate that relationship so that he might strengthen you and so that you might remain full of the grace of God in your life, that the joy might remain in you. I travel across the country. Some of the most miserable people I meet are Christian people. Why that is, I don't know. Maybe they're not abiding. Maybe they're not continuing, remaining faithful to the things of God. And that your joy might be full. Amen. God wants you to have the fullness of his power, supernatural power and joy in your life. And to have that, we must determine to abide in Christ, to stay faithful with the Lord, reading our Bibles every day, praying every day, being a witness for God every day, being faithful to church every time the doors are open, no matter what type of service is going on, whether it's a church service, missions conference, revival conference, a men's meeting. Every time the doors are open, God's people need to be faithful to continue to remain strong in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to abide in Christ. Amen. That's what brings us the fullness of God's joy, the fullness of God's power in our life as we determine to abide in the vine, abide in Christ. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. We'll have a greater love for each other as we abide in Christ. Are you with me? And sometimes, you know, the reason why we fuss and argue, we're just not remaining faithful, abiding, continuing in that call of God that He's placed upon every single Christian. And so we'll have a greater love for the Lord, a greater love for one another. Amen. That's important. And so the Bible says the greatest commandment is that we love the Lord God. And then the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And how do we accomplish those things? Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Be faithful every day to walk with God. To have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In reading, in praying, in those things. Faithful with your tithe. Faithful with your offerings. That's what it means to abide in Christ. If you're not tithing, you're not abiding in Christ. You're not giving your faith promise, you're not abiding in Christ. And so it means to faithfully walk with God and to serve the Lord. Every waking moment, every breath that we draw, every step we take, totally surrendered, dedicated to God, abiding will keep you from sliding. Amen. Back in the a comatose state of mind that many people allow themselves to slip into. Amen. That's what happens. We come to church, we don't seem like we get anything out of the message. Why? Because we're comatose. Who's with me? The Bible says there, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Boy, that's tremendous dedication. And we'll have that in our life as long as we continue, remain, abide in Christ. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. That's the Lord talking to the disciples. Amen. It's what the Lord is saying to the disciples out in front of that vineyard where they're standing, looking, and on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so the Lord said, I'm going to teach you fellas something here that you need in your life. I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to leave a comforter. But there's a work that you're going to have to do. And that work needs to continue and to remain. Amen. Faithful to the Lord. And so I've called you my friend. You're my friend. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go and what? Bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Remain. Your fruit should remain. 4 weeks ago, back in my home church, this elderly couple came forward and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's always a blessing, amen? You know, you see young people get saved often, and sometimes teenagers, adults. But this couple was, you know, up in their late 60s, early 70s. And so what was interesting about that couple trusting Christ as Savior was that they were the mother and father-in-law of a woman who used to ride my bus way back in 1982. Are you with me? 1982, I picked up two little children, a brother and sister, 9, 10 years old, come on my bus back in 1982. And they come on the bus route, and I brought them to Sunday school. And about 7 years ago, I was living in Oklahoma City, traveling around in evangelism and the preaching. I was back in my home church. And this woman come up to me with her husband and her two children and said, Brother Murphy, do you remember me? I said, no, I don't. My name is Wendy. I rode your bus back in 1982. You brought me and my brother to Sunday school, and we trusted Christ. And now today I'm married. I got these two children. We're faithful members here at the First Baptist Church of Rosemont. My husband's serving the Lord on the bus ministry. And my children go to the Christian school. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. And then so I rejoice in that, announcement, in that blessing that she was there. I'd lost contact with them, you know. In 1982, I got my heart right with the Lord. 82, 83, I had that bus route. Then 83, I went off to Bible college. And so I just lost contact with them, and they stayed faithful. But then about 2 years ago, Wendy's mom and dad called me on the phone Christmas Eve. Said, "Brother Murphy, do you remember us?" I said, "What's your name?" They tell me their names. "I'm Wendy's father, and I just wanted to let you know that my wife and me have trusted Christ as our personal Savior." They got saved. And then 4 weeks ago, her mother and father-in-law trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. What is that? That's fruit that remains. That's what it means to abide in the vine. To abide in the vine, that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father my name, he may give it you. And what's interesting about that whole thing is that, you know, the Lord allowed me, you know, to experience that blessing. And I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. I'm just a servant of God. I'm just serving the Lord on the bus route, wanting to do God's will. Call me into the ministry, call me to preach. And you know, that's why I know God has a sense of humor, because he called me to preach. And, you know, I'm not an educated person. I just determined I was going to serve God, and he just brought me along to where I am today. Amen. Serving the Lord. Abide in the vine. If there's ever a day, there's ever a time, if there's ever a generation, we need Christians to abide in Christ, it's today. So many people today are just falling by the wayside for one reason or another. They just don't seem to have that joy of the Lord. No greater joy than serving Jesus. No greater joy than being in the direct center of God's will. Knowing that you're right with God. Right where you're supposed to be for the glory of God. No greater joy. No greater contentment than that. No greater gratification than knowing you're serving the Lord. Abide. That's the joy of the Lord that he wants you to have in your life. To abide in the vine. Now, to help us to better understand this, the Lord gives us certain types. That's the way he would convey it. Truth would be through types and allegories. And so he refers to himself as the true vine. He told his disciples, "You see the vineyard there? You see those vines? And the important work that they have? I am the true vine. As the vine imparts sap and productiveness to its branches, so Christ infuses unto his followers his own divine strength and power." He is the true vine. He said, "Now you see that guy out there kind of watching over everything? That's God the Father. He's in control of the vineyard." Amen. And so he protects things, and he watches over and cares for the vine and the branches and all the things that are happening. My Father is the husbandman. He's the head. He's the one in charge. He's the one in control. So I'm the true vine. The gardener, the husbandman, is the heavenly Father. Now the branches, he makes reference to the child of God. Ye are the branches. You see the branches out there? Now notice, the branches are totally dependent upon the vine for survival. Amen. And so we need to understand that without God, we can do nothing. We can't raise our families. We can't work a job. And, you know, that's going to count for anything in eternity. For the Bible, Jesus was explaining to them that the branches are totally dependent upon the vine. Without me, ye can do nothing. He said, look at the fruit. And that's your works. The fruits of salvation manifesting that external evidence of an inward experience. And the fruit is fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering that we should have in our life. Fruits of soul winning. We ought to go out, try to win people to the Lord in all of that. So he gives a type here, the typology, to set up this truth that he's trying to convey to his disciples. What is the truth that God's trying to convey? Your faithfulness will induce the fruitfulness of God in your life. You'll be a faithful Christian, you'll be a fruitful Christian. Amen. You'll be a fruitful Christian. God wants us to bring forth fruit. I mean, that's the thing that glorifies God. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So you'll bear some fruit, you'll bear more fruit, and as you continue to grow in God and to remain faithful to the Lord, you're going to manifest much fruit. Amen. And so it's our faithfulness to God that will induce, magnify the fruit of God in our life. Go to the book of Psalms, and a familiar passage of Scripture in Psalms and chapter 1. The Bible says there, in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so we need to be faithful if we're going to be fruitful. Are you with me? And so it's our faithfulness. We abide in Christ and remain steadfast and continue to serve the Lord. Continue in his love. God is going to bring forth fruit in our life. So we got to be faithful in what? Faithful in separating from the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Worldly philosophy. And you know what it is. Spend money you don't have on people you don't. Spend money that you don't have. I can't even remember what it is now. Spend money on things you don't need. Amen? That's the philosophy of the world. Spend money on things you don't need to impress people you don't even like. And that's what people are doing in the world. We got to separate from worldly people, worldly philosophy, worldly places. That's what it means to abide in a separate from the world. Saturate yourself with the Word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law doth he meditate day and night. Abiding in the vine is to separate from the world and saturate yourself with the Word of God. Amen. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law doth he meditate day and night. And then situate yourself next to the water. And shall be like a tree planted. That's what it means, planted. Remain steadfast, unmovable, rooted in the things of God. And you'll bring forth that fruit. Go back to the book of John, chapter 15. What's he teaching? Your faithfulness will induce the fruitfulness, augment the fruitfulness of God in your life. But not only that, you'll be able not only to experience the fruit, it will induce the friendship of God in your life. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Jesus said, "Ye are my friend." That really thrills and makes my heart happy. You know, when Brother Smith says, Brother Murphy is my friend. Is my friend. Some people throw that word friend around lightly, but I take that word seriously. Friend. Be a friend. What's it? Greater love hath no man than this, than the man lay down his life for his friends. Wow. Now that's a friend. Who's with me? Friend. Now, as you determine to be faithful to God, abiding in the vine, you're going to induce the friendship of God. Oh, listen, if there's a friend you want to have, it's Jesus, the friend of God. Ye are my friends. He told the disciples, "You're my friends." Isn't that something? You fellas are my friends. And he said it three different times. I've called you friends. Ye are my friends. I laid down my life for my friends. And so it's an important truth there that God's trying to get us to realize. He wants us to know that he is our friend. We abide in the vine. We're going to allow that friendship to be nurtured and to grow. Take that thing of having Jesus as our friend serious. He is a wonderful friend, a loyal friend. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. There's a lot of people call me their friends, but, you know, they're not really my friends. They've gone by the wayside. Friends, a loyal friend, a loving friend. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for us. A listening friend. Don't you like friends that'll listen? You know, I got a lot of friends. They just like to talk. They just like to talk. And I try to be a friend and listen to them. Amen. But, hey, Jesus said, call unto me. Hey, listen, I'm willing to listen. You know, the pastor, he doesn't want to listen to your complaints all the time. He's your friend, but he don't want to listen. I don't want to listen to my children, what they have to say. But God is willing to listen to whatever you have to say. As minute as some people might think it is, God is willing to listen. Why? He's your friend. It will induce the friendship of God in your life. And so that's the teaching. It's to induce the fruit of God and the friendship of God. And then as you continue to abide in the vine, your faithfulness will induce the favor of God in your life. And if there's one thing you want, is God's favor. His affection pointed in our direction. Amen. And his eyes open, and his ear attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. That's the favor of God. Amen. That's the blessings of God right there. You can't get any more favor than that. That's better than having the winning lottery number. The Bible says in verse 16, I read it, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. But man, why don't I have my prayers answered? Are you abiding in the vine? Are you abiding in Christ? Are you faithful? You know, with the things of God, God's favor. He showed favor to Joseph. He showed favor to Daniel. He talks about showing favor to those in Proverbs chapter 3 who are willing to read the Bible, meditate, allow it to become a part of their life. So he lays out the typology, then the teaching. And so the teaching is your faithfulness will induce the fruit of God and the friendship of God and the favor of God. But then I notice a third thing here, the tragedy. What is the tragedy? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And so the idea here is that one day we're going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to give an account to him as Christian people. And all of our works, all faithfulness will be put through the fire. If you've been abiding in the vine, all of that will come forth as silver and gold, precious stones. But if not, then it'll be nothing more but wood, hay, and stubble. But another application here is, listen, if you're not going to serve the Lord, he's just going to cast you out. Just like an old pile of brush. You go through and you prune your garden or you prune your vineyard or whatever. You cut off the dead branches. You put them in a pile and they're all burned up. They're good for nothing. And that's a tragedy. When someone sits in a church like this and you don't see any fruit, you don't see any fervor, you don't see any faithfulness in that person's life, the Bible says you're just like a dead branch. And God's going to get ready to prune. Amen. Sometimes we wonder, you know, why a church sometimes, you know, loses people. Maybe that's just God pruning out the dead branches. Who's with me? Say amen. Abide in Christ. Abiding will keep you from sliding. Let's determine in our hearts that we're going to be faithful to God in every area of our life. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness. I pray you take this simple message, this truth. Help us to apply it to our life. Help us to be the Christian that's abiding in you. We'll give you the glory for it. It's your name we pray. Amen.